This is the Bible study series for small groups. How then shall we now live? This is study number two, Be Paid Up. This is based on Romans chapter 13, verses 6 to 8. This is the continuation on from the series that I did based on Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, where we looked at building a covenant community. As with any of the small group Bible studies, a part of the value of what's happening is the interaction between those people in the group. And that's why I suggest you always start the night or the afternoon or the morning or whenever you're doing this, preferably in a home, but over some refreshments, hot drinks or cold drinks as the case may be, and some refreshments. And that gives people just an opportunity to interact with each other. And I think that's really, really important. I think that actually helps to build some of the fabric of what we're actually talking about in these studies so that we take our Bible study out of the realm of just simply the abstract and put it into the realm of the practical. So this night would move from the time of refreshments and small talk into perhaps if that was done in the kitchen or dining room or wherever, and then moved into the lounge room or some kind of rumpus room or whatever, and people are seated comfortably around the room, and you ask the two questions. And I actually have a sheet for this on the website where you can ask these two questions and just fill it in. And then at the end of the night, you're going to use this sheet where you will remind people of their answers. And the first question is, what are you thankful for? Just one thing, what are you thankful for? Now, this is a really, really positive mental health exercise because all too often we get caught up in the negatives. We get caught up in those things which are, you know, perhaps setting us back. They're those things that fill us with negativity. And when we ask, what are you thankful for? It helps people to realize, you know, actually, we do have some things to be thankful for. And then the second question is, what is one thing you would like prayer for? So what are you thankful for and what would you like prayer for? Asking those two questions will help people to consider how God can enter into their world. And I think, again, this is very, very practical. So those two questions will be brought out at the end of the study. But as you go around the room, starting on your left, go around and you share as well as the group leader so that there's a sense of setting an example and transparency as well. And I think, as I've said, that is really important. Okay, in this study, Be Paid Up, which is the title summary of this section in Romans chapter 13, verses 6 to 8, which says, For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Verse 7, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And so you might ask someone to read this first paragraph just to involve them. The latter part of Paul's epistle to the Romans is, as each of his epistles were, very practical. As one participant in the first study in this series said in our study of the first five verses of Romans 13, and this is actually what happened in a group I led, my problem with this passage isn't that I don't understand it, it's that I do. Given that the original audience of this epistle were living at a time when the known world was ruled by one of the most brutal empires in human history, the Roman Empire, Paul's statements in this next passage must have seemed extraordinary to them. As with anything in the New Testament, we need to remember that none of it was written to us, but all of it was written for us. This means that we must discern how a passage of Scripture applies to us today. This passage, Romans 13, verses 6 to 8, is not like some other New Testament passages, which may seem somewhat obscure to us today. As we consider this passage, may God give us the grace to appropriately apply it to our lives. So, essentially, what we're saying there is that because this falls into Paul's practical section of his epistles, and particularly the epistle to the Romans, what we're going to be reading now is not going to be difficult. In fact, we're going to understand it probably much to our shock. Question one, and this is where you might invite someone again going around the room. Could you please read question one and perhaps grab Romans chapter 13, verse 6, and then ask the person on their left or randomly pick someone. Could you please read those verses out of Matthew 22, verses 17 to 21? The question is this: how does Romans chapter 13, verse 6 correspond to the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 to 21? So Romans 13, verse 6 says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing." And Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 to 21 says this: "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" This is obviously the lawyers asking Christ the question. Verse 18: "But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, 'Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' They said, 'Caesar's.' Then he said, 'Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.'" So how do those two passages correspond to each other? Well, essentially, pay taxes to whom taxes are owed. Don't be a tax cheat. That's the practical application of it. Question two: does this mean that Christians shouldn't try to minimize their tax? Well, I think it's actually quite a different question, but it might be an interesting group discussion, and hopefully the group will land somewhere along the lines of, no, it is perfectly legal to minimize your tax if you're doing it legally, and that's the point. Question three: what reason does Paul give for why Christians should pay the tax they owe? And again, we're just reflecting on Romans 13, verse 6. "For because of this, you also pay taxes." And here it is: "For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing." So we pay taxes because those who serve in government authority are actually under God's authority. Therefore, God has appointed them. Therefore, he ordains that they should be paid. And just practically, someone else may answer along these lines, that paying taxes pays for the essential services and the government authorities which provide those services and the government that you have as well. So there's an obligation there biblically to pay taxes. Question four, based on Romans 13, verse 7, what might you say to a Christian who told a Christian-run business that they would not pay their bill because they were too slow in sending them their bill? Romans 13, verse 7 says, "Pay to what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And the point there is pay to all what is owed to them. And so essentially pointing this verse out to someone who claimed, "I'm not paying their bill, they were too slow in sending it to me," they actually have no grounds to say that. And according to Romans 13, verse 7, they have no justification to make that claim that the business was too slow in sending them their bill. That's just nonsense. Question five, considering that same verse, Romans 13, 7, should we only respect those who have earned our respect? Discussed. Now, this is a modern mantra today. You can't demand respect, you have to earn it. And that there's obviously an element of truth in that. But here, the scripture is clearly saying some people hold an office which is ordained by God. Whether they deserve to be there or not in your mind is irrelevant. They deserve respect because of the office that they hold. And hopefully the group will discuss that and arrive somewhere in that vicinity. Respect and honor, which are mentioned side by side in Romans 13 verse 7, and maybe sound like synonyms, that is, similar words or talking about the same thing, but they are not. Respect is a subjective response. Honor is an objective response. So that means you may not respect someone, but you can honor them, which means you can show them honor. So respect is something you feel, it's a personal feeling, and honor is something you show as an objective response. Now, this is a bit of an exercise. Put an R where if you think this defines honor, and put an H where you think it's appropriate to be a definition of honor. So, hold in high regard. Now, that's a subjective thing, so that is respect. Be wary of, again, that's a subjective thing, so that's respect. Have a high opinion of, well, again, that is a subjective thing, so that's respect. Applaud, acclaim, praise. Well, that's a practical thing. That's an outworking. That's an objective thing, so that is honor. Treat as more important. Well, treat is a verb, not just a feeling. That's honor as well. Willingness to serve. Well, a willingness to serve will manifest in actually doing something. So that's a verb. That's an objective outworking. That's honor. Listen to closely. Again, that's something that you're either doing or you're not doing. That's not just a feeling. Therefore, that involves honor. Deeply admire. Well, that's a subjective thing. So that's respect. Consider Romans 13, verse 8. How might you respond to someone who is part of your church, who is a part of your church, and despite people's best efforts to connect with them, feels that no one in the church loves them? So I'll just remind you, Romans 13, verse 8, owe to no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And I think the point there of Romans 13, 8 is that we're not to demand that others love us. We are to be in a position where we are loving others, and that we are to consider that that is a debt that we owe to others. Now, that's going to, I think, be, for some people, quite a difficult concept to process, that because we all want to feel loved. And here in this reference, it's saying don't demand that. In fact, be proactive in it. Love others. Question 8. If you were to ask God to help you to live out that verse, Romans 13, 8, how might an answer to that prayer look in your life? Now, this is a reflective question. We just want people to think about this. And hopefully it would look like sowing and reaping. In other words, if you give out love, you will probably receive love. If we give it out in our church, each individual member, it probably will look like that we will see our churches become more loving and more accepting. And this is where hopefully that discussion will create some imaginative thinking. Okay, it's at this time that you would pull out that sheet that, you know, what are you thankful for and what would you like prayer for? And just remind people, you know, Betty was thankful for this happening and would like prayer for this. Go around the room, start on your left, and have people pray for those various things. If anything's missed, let them know that by the time it comes to you, you'll mop up. You'll pick up anything that was missed. Well, I trust that you are enjoying these studies, and these are very, very practical. In our next study, the third study in this series, we'll be looking at Romans 13, verses 9 to 10, called Be Pure. And I trust that if you have any queries or questions, you can shoot those in the comments on this page or use Twitter at Dr. Andrew C. God bless you, and I look forward to perhaps hearing from you.